اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The way that a human being has been created, individuals have this natural inclination, this natural desire, perhaps even you could even call it a natural need to interact with other individuals. That's why they say that human beings are social animals. And since this deen is deenul fitra, this is a deen which was created according to the innate or instinctual makeup of a human being, the deen itself doesn't contravene or it doesn't go against what is naturally human about an individual. In other words, the deen doesn't require us to become inhuman or abnormal. And the more one adheres to the edicts that exist within the deen, the more human they become. So it's human, for example, to get married. And so whereas perhaps in other religious traditions, the ideal is not to get married, in our religious tradition, the ideal is to get married. النكاح من سنتي فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. The nikah is from my sunnah, and whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from amongst me. Similarly, if you look at how an individual wants to interact with other people and deal with other people, the ideal in Islam is not necessarily to live in seclusion, right, as an ideal. That's why it comes in hadith, لا رهبانية في الإسلام, أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that there is no monasticism in Islam. So a good Muslim, a pious Muslim, ultimately is not the individual who stays aloof from all individuals, right, and aloof from life itself, and then just engages in ibadah, is that individual who is the misdaq, upon whom the ayah is true, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رِجَالُ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that they are men that neither sale or trade nor business distract them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that when the husband goes to work every single day, or the individual goes to work every single day, that even though they go through the motions of life, that process of interacting with, you know, the environment and interacting with people doesn't distract them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the Quranic ideal. So the first principle is that it's natural to want to interact with individuals or to other human beings. And the second thing that we need to, and the second principle is that this is not something which is, dispraised in Islam. It's actually something which is condoned, right, to interact with others. When you look at human interactions and people that we interact with, you can generally divide the people who we come across in our lives into three broad categories. So one category of people are individuals that we don't know, right? We don't know them and they don't know us. The second category of individuals are those with whom we have an acquaintance. And the third category are those people who we are friends with. And by and large, if you look around you, most people, right, even if you take family members, they'll fall into one of these categories. Right? Either you don't know them, or you know them, but you're not very close to them, or that you take them as your friend. So there's a little bit of guidance we should be given about what does Islam tell us about how to interact with each category of people and how do we capitalize or optimize each type of interaction. When you talk about those people whom you don't know, right, nor do they know you, when you meet such individuals and if you see them in the world around you and you see them engage in some type of wrong thing, some type of bad thing, that they're swearing, they're cursing, they're involved in bad, then you should look at it, you should first assess that situation. You should see with that individual, if I admonish him or her, or if I correct him or other, will this person be able to take it? Right? Will that actually create an environment where they will actually come closer to the deen? Will it drive them farther away? If a person actually feels that by me talking to such a person, this person will actually come closer, right, to the deen, then you should speak up. But when you speak up, you should speak up in a kind way, in a soft way, in a way that does not insulting, that's not condescending. In a very gentle manner, you should correct the individual. Look at Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he would even correct a small child, he would correct them, right, when they're in front of him. قُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَقُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He saw the child, he was eating in a way that wasn't according to the sunnah, so he said that, say Bismillah, right, and eat with your right hand. But when he said it didn't insult him, it didn't make someone feel bad, just told you the principle. He didn't say, oh, you don't have any manners, you don't know how to act. He just corrected him in a way that didn't make a person feel bad. So that's one. And then when you actually see a person who's interacting, or this person that you don't know, and they're around you, and they're acting in a bad way, then you should actually try to avoid that environment or avoid that individual. You should minimize your interaction with that individual. So, and on the positive side, you should never rely on these people that you don't know. So generally when you go about in life, you don't create this expectation in your mind that, oh, you know, someone will help me out. Or, you know, you have some type of dependency on these people that you know. They don't even know you, right? So why would you depend on them to help you out? So you neither really rely on them much, nor do you really engage in their, if they're involved in something which is bad, then you really just avoid their evil. So your interaction with generally these individuals is pretty minimal. Pretty minimal. And if there is some type of interaction, it is only in the category of you trying to benefit someone else. So the general principle is that you want to benefit as many people around you as frequently as possible. You want to benefit as many people around you as frequently as possible. And that applies to this situation. So even people you don't know, if you just see them, and if you can give them some type of benefit, then you give them that benefit, but then again, not hoping for any type of thing in response, and not relying or hoping for any type of favor to come back upon you. This is generally how you'll deal with people that you don't know. Don't expect anything really, and just do good to them. The second category of individuals are those individuals that we call friends. So a person really needs to take stock of who they take as friends. Because once you take someone as your friend, then they have certain rights over you too. Right? You become your, if you take someone as a true brother in Islam or true sister in Islam, then they also have certain rights. In general, Muslims have rights over each other. But if someone is really your friend, then you should also live up to what it means to be a friend. So you should pick your friends very wisely. And so, you find in the writing of the scholars, five criteria that you should look at when you pick out a friend. And so that's actually what I wanted to spend a little bit of time today on. How do you pick a friend? Right? Who do you pick as your friend? The first characteristic they write about is that if when you pick a friend, that the friend should be intelligent. Right? The friend should be intelligent. Doesn't mean that every friend that you find has to go to Harvard. Right? That's not necessarily what intelligence means. But it means that a person has a certain amount of wit about him, a certain amount of common sense, such that in trying to help you, that he or she does not end up harming you. Because this is a person that you're bringing into, you're going to pour your heart out to them, that they're going to be your support. So if you take someone who's so close to you, sometimes even though they might be well-meaning, right, and they might want to do good to you, and nonetheless, because of their simple-mindedness, sometimes they'll bring harm upon you. So one characteristic that they say that you should look for is that a person that you should be around is an intelligent person. And if you're around this type of an intelligent person, a person who is, has aql, a person of aql, then one of the first people to benefit from that aql is you. When they give some mashwara, they will give a mashwara which is intelligent. When they try to do something to help you, then they'll do it in the best way, then devise the best manner to do that. So it would make sense, right, to pick a person like that. And like I said, it doesn't necessarily depend on what degree they have or where they go to school or what they do as a profession. Right? It just means that you should not take someone who's so simple-minded that they'll actually cause some type of harm to you. The second category that they talk about is that the person that you take should be well-mannered. Right? He should be well-mannered. Or he or she should be well-mannered. They should have good akhlaq. And the epitome of that is you should try to find a person who they make a relationship with you with no desire for personal gain. They don't have any gharazi, right? They don't have any maqsad, any type of ulterior motive to be your friend. They're your friend because they're your friend. Right? There's ikhlas in that. There's sincerity in that. And that's actually one of the fundamental characteristics that you need to look for in a friend. That there's no ulterior motive. That you find an individual who doesn't get mad or angry at you. If you end up messing up, they'll still love you all the same. That if you mess up, if you make a fault, even if you do something against them, that they won't break your relationships with you over trivial matters. Through thick and through thin, they're with you. Even if you don't really like them, or even if you sort of get mad at them, they still don't leave your side. They're always next to you, ready to support you, give you a shoulder when you need it. That's a true friend. That's a true friend. And that actually brings us to the next point, is that most people in the world aren't really like that. They don't have the ability. For a person to really be selfless, they really have to be pious. Right? Because when you give that much of yourself and to be that generous, that requires a certain amount of spirituality, and you have to draw that spirituality from somewhere. And the well that we drink our spirituality from is the deen. So that's the third characteristic that you should look for. Is that a person that you find should be religious minded. They should be a pious person. And they write about three different reasons why, even from a philosophical perspective, this makes sense. Because number one, if a person is not careful about the huquq of Allah, then why will they be careful about your huq? They're not careful about their own creator. Right? They're not loyal to their creator, then what is the security that they'll be careful or loyal to you? Number two, that if a person is not religious minded and he's into bad habits, even if you don't do those bad habits, eventually you become desensitized to that. If you find someone, for example, who doesn't cover their awrah, or someone who listens to music, regularly. And generally, it's very difficult for one friend to correct another friend, right? Then people don't really force the religion on people who they're close to. It's uncomfortable, by and large. Not that you shouldn't, but by and large, people don't. And since they keep quiet, your silence eventually desensitizes you to that sin. And desensitization is one of the first steps for you to actually fall into the sin. And that's the third reason, actually, they give, that you shouldn't keep a person or a friendship with someone who's not religious-minded, is that eventually their bad characteristics will actually come into you. If a person is doing haram, 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 maybe you might not fall into that same haram, right? But it lowers your bar of spirituality. And eventually a person falls into either that same sin or perhaps another sin. So for these three reasons, and perhaps more, person should try to find a person who is religious-minded. The people in the past used to say that marry your daughter to a person of taqwa. Because if he loves her, then he loves her. But even if he doesn't love her, then he will fear Allah in the matter. Meaning that even if he doesn't feel love and he's not very close to her, then he'll still treat her nice because he fears Allah first. And that's actually one of the biggest guarantors when you find a righteous, truly righteous. And when we say truly righteous, it doesn't necessarily mean that the sister is wearing niqab or the person has grown out their beard. But because religion is, that's a part of the deen, and that's an important part of the deen. But it doesn't necessarily mean that's all of the deen. Right? A lot of the deen is what actually is in your heart, and how you deal with others, and how you make other people feel secure and comfortable around you. That is part of the deen. So when you find a true friend, right, who's truly spiritual, they really don't let you down. They're a support for you. The fourth characteristic that they talk about is that they don't tell lies. Know that if someone, a close friend about you, they're talking to you, and when you're listening to them, they're doing ghibah about someone else, know that they can also do ghibah about you. And when you're around them and they said that, yeah, you know, I met her and I just told her this, 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 and you know it's a straight line. She's telling you that's a straight line. And they have an ability or characteristic that they tell lies, then know that you can't trust that individual. If you want, you know, if, when you look for a friend, what do you want? We say we want a true friend. A true friend. The operative word here is true. And you can't be true if you're not truthful. You cannot be true if you're not truthful. You cannot be true if you're not truthful. If you want to find a true friend, they have to be a truthful person first. And people who are truthful by and large, then what you see on the outside, they are on the inside. And then the fifth characteristic that's talked about is that the individual doesn't have the love of the dunya. If you're around someone who's completely in the dunya, they will take that love of the dunya and transfer it into your heart. Plain and simple. You find someone who all the time is talking about the latest fashion. All the time is talking about, you know, the new trends in home fashion. All the time they're, you know, talking about what's coming out in this game and buying this and buying that. That eventually will just distract you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very powerful way. In a very powerful way. So if you pick a friend, you should pick a friend who's simple. Right? Who's not really into dunya and dunyawi matters. Doesn't mean that they can't be wealthy. Because there are wealthy people who are still simple. And there are, quote-unquote, simple people whose hearts are immersed in the dunya. You have both. And the easy way to tell apart is, look at what they talk about all the time. Look at what your conversations are about. So now, if you look at these five characteristics, and just think in your own mind, who are my friends? And see if they fall in these five characteristics. If they're not, then you should actually try to find a true friend. Because it's one of the most, it's one of the things that really gives true happiness, is when you really have a true friend. Right? Someone who's really so close to you and so close to your heart, it's very hard to explain the type of pleasure, the type of support, and the type of comfort that you can derive from that type of friend. I mean, look at Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of his best friends, if you want to think of it in those terms, was Khadija radiallahu anha. She supported him in a way when no one else was ready to support him. She was a pillar of strength for him when the whole world was ready to stand against him. And that's why he loved her so much. He loved her in life, and he loved her in death. She had a very special place in the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She was what you call, you know, she would be, you know, in modern day terms, one of his best friends. Best friends. So we should also, you know, we should pick our friends, and we should be selective. إِذَا رُؤُوا ذَكِرَ اللَّهِ, that when you pick a friend, that when you see them, that you just remember Allah. When you're around that, when you're around people like that, that will help you. So that's how you pick a friend. Once you pick a friend, then there's certain things that you should do for your friend. Number one, that anytime your friend is in need or needs some help, you should help them out. To the best of your ability. You offer yourself, offer your assistance, and be there for them. Number two, that if you see some type of fault in them, that you should cover it up. It's not that if they mess up, then you go and talk to your other friend about them, or you know what he did this last time, or she did that last time. I can't believe she said that. You cover it up. So much so, that even that person doesn't even feel bad. Number three, that you should make dua for that individual. Number four, you should not speak any ill of that individual. And number five, you should listen to them. You know, when you have a good friend, you should listen to them. Lend an ear. Right? It's actually the adab of friendship, that when your friend is talking to you, just don't listen and be thinking about the next point you're going to make. Listen to them as if what they're saying is important to you. Right? Really take a vested interest in their life. So that's friendship. Then the third category of people that come, you know, about in life are the people who we call acquaintances. Acquaintances are neither people you don't completely know, like you completely don't know, I'm sorry, and neither are they friends. There's some la ilaha ula wa la ilaha ula. They're not either in this category, they're not in this category. And most of the people in your life are actually going to fall in this category. And most of the pain that you get in your life are also from people in this category. Right? Most of the time, the tears that you'll shed in your life are people who fall in this category of they're not neither your close friend nor the people that you completely don't know, because you completely don't know that you really have to deal with them. And if they're really your the really true friends, then they don't really harm you by and large. And one of the reasons is that so much harm comes from people who are, I'm just going to use this broad term of acquaintances, but it's a spectrum, it's a gamut, it's not just like acquaintance that you barely know them. There might be people that you meet every once in a while, you meet them, these are all our quote-unquote acquaintances. One of the reasons that people often get hurt with acquaintances is that when you meet with people who are your acquaintances, often one time they will show you one face, but there's something else inside. I mean, they say something to you on the surface, but the inside, they're meaning something else, they think something else, they feel something else. Now, that's not a call to arms that every person that you come to, you start judging them, and we should have an open, clean heart when people, and we should take them and have a husn-e dhan about them. That's a separate thing. But I'm telling you, in a practical sense, that's often what happens. But we should never judge that, because if you just look at yourself and how you deal with other people that you're acquaintances with, then do you actually are you actually true to every person that you meet? There's very few people like that. Right? There are very few people who are that clean and that pure that outside, inside, everything is just on the surface. That's what you get. What you see is what you get. Very few. I mean, most people, we say that it's tact, we say that you have to be political, we say you have to be smart when you meet people. People put it in different ways, but all of that falls in the same category. And most people do that. When we meet other people, we sugarcoat things, we think things, we're thinking 10 steps. We say one thing, we mean one thing, we say one thing, we want one thing. There's all these type of, and a lot of this oftentimes leads to a lot of these societal problems with our acquaintances. So how do you deal with acquaintances in an Islamic manner? Right? How do you deal with acquaintances in an Islamic manner? So they say that if any acquaintance, or anyone who falls in this category, anytime they do anything bad to you, you should never do anything bad back to them. Because number one, it can harm you in the Akhirah. If you do something bad back to them, then how do you know that you're exact and you haven't done any zulm and don't go above the bounds? Right? It's not like a metric that you can easily measure. That you did 1.1 units of zulm against me, I'm going to do 1.1 zulm units against you. Life doesn't work like that. So it's better just to let it go. Better just to let it go. And number two, if someone's antagonistic enough that they actually harm you in the dunya, then when you do something bad, you think they're going to take that lying down? They're going to come back to you with a hammer. Right? They're going to make your life even more miserable. So from both the perspective of the dunya and the perspective of the deen, something bad to you, just let it go. Just let it go. Don't do something bad back to them. You can do something good back to them, that's fine. That's the highest Quranic ideal. But at the very least, don't do anything bad. Just ignore it. Just go on with your life. And the other side of that is don't expect any favors. Don't expect any favors or any good or any harm. Any good or respect or honor from others. You find people, either they're going to do these acquaintances, either they do something bad to you, or they do a lot of quote-unquote good to you. They praise you, and they show so much endearment, and all these type of things. But you have to be careful. Because like I told you, in life, very few people are so true. Very few people are so true. So you should take it with a grain of salt, meaning that don't doubt their sincerity. But in yourself, you should say that I neither want from creation, right? I neither want their love, nor do I fear their harm. Just be, qati'i nazar, we would say. Just turn your eyes completely away from the makhluk. Don't expect anything. Because, and this is the root of a lot of societal problems, is expectations. If you expect anything from an acquaintance, it's a setup for remorse. It's a setup for regret. It's a setup for sadness. Don't expect anything from anyone. Right? Don't be dependent on anyone. Be completely independent of makhluk. So you should be independent. You should just be that I am independent in and of myself, but I'm completely dependent on Allah. And so that is actually the operative message. The operative message for how you deal with people in this category is that you turn yourself completely away from their harm and completely away from hope of their favor, their respect, their honor. and you turn your sight only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. You only put your eyes only on Allah. Don't care about them. Right? Don't hope for any favor for them. Don't hope for any benefit from them. Only hope for benefit from Allah. And when you do that, that gives you the ability to turn back towards people and do good to them. Right? And not get hurt when they don't do something good back. And not feel bad that, oh, you know, when she was sick, I cooked for her, and now I'm sick and she didn't even call me. And you feel bitter about that. You won't feel that because you've already attached, there's not the expectation to begin with. And now since you've attached yourself somewhere else, which is Allah, and you're completely dependent on Him, you really don't need people. And it really doesn't bother you if they do something or they don't do something. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to deal with people around us in a way that keeps us safe, that gives us security in our life, that He provides us with true friends that allow us to get closer to Him, and that He saves us from the shar of people, and He helps us to turn our eyes away from people altogether and fixate our eyes on Him alone. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ